show, the Travel Angel Radio Show, now here on Wednesday. And I'm here with Kathy Takushi, it's a sponsor and co-host. And always nice to see you, Kathy. How you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. Yeah, a lot better than some of the people who were having to go through their challenges on the East Coast. There were 3,046 flights canceled today. 300, Newark canceled a bunch. LaGuardia, JFK had 266 flights canceled. Boston and Philadelphia were affected. Total delays, 9,356 delays due to the storm there.
Good thing we don't have anybody traveling on the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of wondering in the winter now, if the way it's so common, I'm wondering if people you can just avoid. As a travel agent, you take into consideration avoiding places like JFK and Newark? And
we do.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can. Personally, I try to go, if I'm going to Europe, I try to go from the West Coast straight to Europe, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just one less, you know.
One less delay.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like I've so many times when I've gone into Newark, there are delays, and it's so... Both Newark and JFK are just so overcrowded, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of weather
on the
East Coast all times of the year.
Yeah, so. and D.C. as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I've been there at D.C. when there was just lightning, thunderstorms and things in the summer, of course. You know, and you think you're okay in the summer, right?
Yeah.
But then there's the summer storms that happen. So, I guess these days, I mean, I try to avoid Newark myself, if possible, only because so many times I've had delays. So it's something to think about if you're traveling, is when you're booking. Sometimes it seems like it's convenient to go and stop there, mm-hmm. but not if you have a cancellation. That's when, folks, you really wish you had a travel agent, if you're there stuck in, because it's a nightmare trying to rebook yourself.
Mm-hmm. Our clients just call us, and then we deal with it and call them back.
Yeah, because you could be in a line with 100 people in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these delays are so much that you don't know it. I think the delays may even be worse than the cancellations. Because in the delays, you're not sure if indeed after the delay you are going to even fly, right?
Yeah, they give you hope.
They give you hope for maybe 3 hours, 4 hours. And then if it gets canceled, you've been there, you're invested in the 3 or 4 hours, and he's like, wait a second, I've been waiting all this time, and you're going to cancel on me now?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Then the crew time's out. That's what always happens.
Well, that's a very good point. I've been there. I've done that.
Yeah, the crew time's out.
And then you're
like,
sitting. Yes.
Didn't they figure that out when they were doing the delay?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, there's all that going on. So something to think about, and do think about my book, How to Fly with Less Stress. I'm in the midst of doing the audio version. I've recorded all the audio. It's being edited down. The next stage will be to get it to Audacity. So then it goes up from Audacity. Then they load it up to the Amazon site. It's my first audio book, but I really always knew when I wrote the book that this would be very helpful to have when you're on a plane or mm-hmm. when you're stuck waiting for a plane, because all these exercises and everything really help you with the stress. So... that would be, I don't know, you know, it's hard to tell in some of these editing things how long they take, but I imagine I'll have it here and out by summer, mm-hmm. which would be good. The first of hopefully many audiobooks. But we're very excited. We're going to be talking about Portugal, sunny Portugal. I have been talking to Kathy quite a bit about it, actually. It's almost like having a child, the birth of a child. It's like, how are we doing on this trip? What's happening? And we have had some... a lot of people calling, and thank you if you called Kathy at 244-1414. In fact, if you're listening and you have called Kathy, we didn't really put out there much that the offer was really an amazing deal, and it was done as a block sale. We blocked out X amount of space, and not a lot because it's limited. It's a small group we're going to be going with. But you have to have that. If you're interested, you have to contact Kathy before the end of March. We're going to close this out in March because that's when the block space we have is only for X amount of time.
Released.
They're holding that much.
They're
for
holding
us.
It for the you, KAY.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you've been thinking about it, and I know a lot of you have heard it, but if you're thinking about it, don't think about it too long. In fact, if you book it now, there's a $500 deposit, but you can get that back up till April 2nd if you change your mind.
Per person.
Per person, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to be a wonderful. I've been learning a lot about Portugal as I did this. Now, I was there briefly. I was doing a tour, and we stopped for a day in Portugal. And you did a cruise that started. Did you fly into Lisbon?
We started in Lisbon and stayed two nights there, and then we were bused up to Porto, and then did a Viking River cruise on the Douro River.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was seven nights, and came back to Porto. And then I had arranged a private tour of just our group. And we went and spent two nights in Santiago de Compostela.
Isn't that a great place?
Oh, yeah. It was really good.
Santiago de Compostela.
Yeah.
That was a surprise for me because, you know, a lot of movies and a lot's been written about. I mean, there was a movie, The Way, with Martin Sheen.
I still have not seen that.
Oh, you have to see that. It was a very well done movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Martin Sheen's very religious. And it, you could tell he was really putting himself into it. And it was directed, I believe, by his son. But yeah, definitely worth seeing. But that town was, you know, some towns are, you know, so big that they've got ruined. This town is so much charm, and I think it really has not been oversold. And there was actually a lot more in that town than I expected,
mm-hmm.
I have to say.
We enjoyed it. We had two nights there, and then we went, we were flying back out of Lisbon, so... we had to make our way back down there, and then we had stopped in Fatima on the way, which was...
I love Fatima.
Yeah, Fatima.
I want to find out who it was, that person that you had as a guide there.
Sonia.
I want to contact Sonia.
Sonia's our guide.
Yeah, no, that was also very special and very, very different than what I imagined because, you know, I kind of thought it was going to... Because you see the pictures of the... You know, I thought it was a small village.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little village, you know.
It was not at one time.
At one time it was. It's not
they
a small
all were.
Village. I know.
Yeah.
This is now very big, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to places that have become very big and they've lost their feeling. I didn't get the sense that this place had lost its feeling. There's a lot of awe and respect. A lot of honor. Mm. I mean, those are the two words I guess I'd use. And there was a certain sense of the presence there. So that was maintained. And there were so many people who were so faithful there. It was kind of just fascinating to watch the people coming there as well. So many people loving the idea and the Holy Mother. It was very powerful to watch that, you know. I didn't have enough time when I was there to go to everything. I went to the cathedral, I went to the gift shop, and I did the candle lighting and to the one small place where, actually the place I think where the Pope did his talk, well, all the popes have visited there, but the one on the small left side, there's a small area where...
The original chapel.
Mm-hmm, the original chapel. But I didn't get down below to the museum. There's a museum on the right. I didn't get a chance to get down there.
We didn't either, but we did go up to the town where the children lived.
And I didn't get there.
Got to see their...
I want to get there. Was that real close by?
It was maybe like a 10-minute drive from...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that would be something I'd like to include.
Yeah, that was really... That was like
that was
a small town.
Yeah,
and the tiny roads. And,
oh, okay.
And, mm-hmm.
Oh, see, that's good to know. That would be something. That's kind of how I envisioned it. So
right.
That's nice and that's where you met the niece.
The niece of Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, she's like 90s?
She was 97, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are the things that make trips special. And on this one... what's nice is included is really nice hotels. Colette Travels Tours did this. I put the hotels and tour together. And they do nice work. And I have to say I was impressed by the quality of the hotels. Sometimes you do on these tours and you just don't know where you're going to be staying. But I looked up each site.
They're like four-star hotels.
They were,
yeah, they do. That's the category that they use. So nice properties.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's nice breakfasts included in each. I like to, you know what I prefer when I'm traveling? I prefer eating a big breakfast and then walking that off. And because I don't like to eat big dinners, because then if I'm traveling a lot, I can gain weight. So I like to, but I mean, so I will eat a big breakfast and then have a medium-sized luncheon, and then just usually do snacks myself at dinner.
Yeah, but there's a few dinners included.
There are a few, few dinners included.
Yeah.
But you fly from Maui into Lisbon, and I don't know where we stop on the way, but somewhere along the way we stop, because there's no planes that fly from Maui to Lisbon direct. But we'll make a stop, and then once we get there, this is October 4th through the 14th, and we'll be doing, I found out, you told me it's pronounced Kashkesh?
The S.
Is S-H.
Yeah, it's like a sh.
Cascais, Estoril, and that's where it starts, and it's called the Portuguese Riviera. And we're going to be there. This is kind of nice that we're there for 3 nights, because it's nice to have a place in the beginning where you're not running around a lot. So we're there, and then we go to Monte Estoril, and that was known as a haven for the European royals and nobility. And I guess there's a welcome dinner there. That's included there. And then we go to the town of Lisbon and do the Alfama District Walking Tour, which is...
the old town of Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was untouched. You will hear a lot about the big earthquake that they had.
Yes, that was quite a thing. Was in the 70s? No, it was earlier than that. It was in the early 1900s, I think.
Yeah.
No, I take it back. It was way back in the 1700s, I think.
And
it was a massive, not only earthquake, but they had a tidal wave.
A tsunami.
They had a tsunami as well. Yeah, that changed the whole face of a lot of buildings. And was.
But the Alfama district, the old area, wasn't touched. There wasn't really any damage in that area.
Mm.
But I liked that area. It's very quaint and cobblestones and old buildings with the wrought iron.
And there's the Belem Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. Yeah. There's some lovely cathedrals there I saw, too.
Right near the Belem Tower, there's the big cathedral.
Right.
And then there's a museum. Because, the Portuguese, which I forgot, from school, they were big in the discovering lots.
Oh, it was huge.
And then when you go into the museum, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
They have some huge monuments to them along the river.
Yeah.
Really big monuments that are pretty impressive, actually. Yeah.
They discovered a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was
not
a driving force.
They were already there, but...
Yeah. they actually laid claim quite a bit, yeah. But there are some wonderful narrow cobblestone streets and seaside cafes and promenades and... And lovely, lovely things to see, to wander, which I like, so there's that. And there's also medieval alleys in some of the areas and stuff. And then day 5, we go to Cascais or Estoril, Sintra, and Óbidos, Fatima. And then that's a lot. But you have some choices there. And again, these are whitewashed houses at Óbidos and medieval city walls. And did you go there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Or just Sintra. We went to the palace.
That's up on the hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the town.
The town below. We didn't have time for the town because we ended up going to Cascais.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Our guide wanted to take us to her favorite restaurant. So we went. It's kind of like a little beachy town with little shops. So that was fun.
Yeah. And then, on Tuesday we go to Alentejo, Portuguese countryside, and we stop in the UNESCO town, which is called the Museum City of Portugal. It's a medieval walled city that has a 2nd century Roman temple to Diana. And then there's a walled village of Monserrate, the jewel in the crown of Alentejo. I love medieval towns myself.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think of Portugal so much as having medieval towns.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think of Italy and other places
and
as
France,
having.
France, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But So we'll be there. That's in the countryside. And we're staying at a country resort set among 3,000 acres of vineyards and cork trees and farmlands. And then we go to Alentejo, Sagres, Lagos, and Algarve. Algarve is quite an interesting area as well. And again, we're talking about navigation here. It's Prince Henry School of Navigation. And it's wonderful views of the Cape of San Vicente. And there's cliffs that plunge into the ocean. It's the most southwestern point of Europe. And then we go into Lagos, where Moorish and Renaissance influences were very important. And again, voyagers there, Prince Henry the Navigator and Vasco da Gama sailed out of there in 1499 and wander there. And then we go to Algarve, which is supposed to be very interesting. It's a lovely town with fir, orange, almond trees. I didn't realize almonds are big there.
And you know what also is big is olive trees.
Interesting, because we don't think of olive oil. We think of Italy again and olive oil, but yeah, there too. And of cork, I love your cork purse. There's cork is very, very, very big in Portugal.
And the nice thing about cork is they don't kill the trees. They just
peel the
trees.
They
peel it, and then it takes, I think, like 6 or 7 years to grow
back. It takes a while to grow back, which makes it more valuable. I mean, I was shocked at how long it takes to grow back, actually.
Yeah, they number them all, but I thought that was interesting.
And I'm learning about fado. I didn't know about fado before, but fado's a kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's kind of very ancient. And
it's about real life, the life they have in Portugal, I guess back in the day. And there's different types too,
of singing of the fado. Did you hear that when you were there?
Yeah, the first night we got there, I took our group on a welcome dinner to a fado show.
Uh-huh.
So they had different musicians singing. But then we went up to Porto, and we had a lunch where they had fado there, and I actually liked that fado up in the Coimbra area, more north than I did in Lisbon.
Well, so there's different styles.
There's different styles, yeah.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have different styles of, you know, music. And it's something to really gets you to the point. I mean, I have to say flamenco and everything has kind of been overdone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But fado hasn't been yet, I don't think.
No.
So, you know, you can experience that. I think we're going to have a special night of fado, that we're going to go to a fado
They usually
place.
Do. I'm trying to find some music, then I can play a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good. It's very passionate, kind of feeling, emotional. I mean, it's very intense, and so I love music, so it's very, very, very important to recognize the music and the power of the music. And so we do that, and then we go to a place. Let's see here. This is important because we have made a point of including an extension to Madeira. Now, Madeira is so, so close to home in lots of ways. There's many people here on the island that love the Azores and love Madeira because that's kind of the roots of where a lot of people from Maui.
The motherland, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you are one of those people that want to go see your roots, this is supposed to be beautiful, this island. You didn't get to go there,
no,
right?
No, we didn't go there. Mm-mm.
And you're going to do that. That's an extension trip, and we just lowered the price if you want to do 4 nights and 5 days in Madeira. So you can fly over there. We'll go see the Botanical Garden. We'll stay in some lovely hotels. And then we're going to visit Porto Moniz. It's a traditional village with a wonderful bay. And then we will... Okay, Henry's coming. We've got a guest coming, but he was going to come at 2:00. Brenda told him the wrong time. And it's like, so now he's coming down from the hill, and he thought it was 2:00. No, it's at 1:00. And then we go to the town called Santana, Which is, I mean, I kind of wonder about Carlos, right? And if it's any...
Maybe he's
I'm kind of wondering about... He looks like he could be, right? And we're going to a place called the Cold River, El Ribero Frio. And there's a walk along the pathways there. It's supposed to be beautiful. Anyway, so that's an extra 4 days. Then we fly you back to Lisbon and then fly you home from there. You have an extra day in Lisbon.
Mm-hmm. I think you have one night in Lisbon. But I found... shall I play this, some fado
music? Sure, I would love to hear some fado music.
Let's see. It can go.
Hold it up right close to the mic there, where the speaker is in the bottom.
Right here.
Oh. He's good.
They were very good. I bought a CD because he was so good. And the guy playing his guitar, too, he was really good.
Oh, it's a beautiful... Well, that's not a typical guitar at all.
No, it's Portuguese guy.
Yeah. Huge body on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little...
Simple. I like that.
But see, I was telling you about their capes.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a black, long black cape.
Yeah, that's where the capes for the Harry Potter thing came about, because... J.K. Rowling wrote her book in Porto, and then all these students, I guess in the university, when they would graduate, they would have these capes, and that's where that came from.
So where did she spend her time?
It was in Porto, because we actually, and I think she taught at a school somewhere in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But because we actually went on a walking tour of Porto, and there was a bookstore that she would write at, and the line was super long of people wanting to go see that.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah, so.
I mean, well, he's a legend, of course. I mm-hmm. mean, so, yeah, no, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I you know, it's very interesting because I'm learning so much about Portugal because, truthfully, I mean, it was that one day, but I don't really know much about Portugal, and I'm learning about it. But there is a wonderful Portuguese club here and a strong community. So I invited next week a lovely lady who does a show for the Portuguese community in here, Audrey, and she's going to come in, and Leona is going to come in next week, and we're going to be talking about it. She's an expert on it. She's amazing on it. So anyway, if you're interested in Portugal, this is the best time of year to go. We picked October 4th through the 14th, and the extension is another 5 days beyond that. But you got to book it in March, and that would be the sooner the better. Call 244-1414. Kathy's here, so she can't answer the phone, but Tina is at Captivating Journeys. And there's also a lovely site you have up on your site, CaptivatingJourneys.com. You can see the page there, right?
Yep. Just go to, on our website, CaptivatingJourneys.com. There's a tab that says Journeys with Us. And then you'll see the Portugal tour, and it has the detailed itinerary.
And it's going to be nice. We don't usually do this. You know, we made sure it was being done right, because we don't usually do this kind of thing. This is kind of the first for us. You did your first group when you did the Portuguese. Wasn't that the first time you led the cruise? Was that your first group?
Mm-hmm. It was. And I call it the perfect trip because everything was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
And you're going to be finding out more about Silver Seas. You're going to be going to Oahu.
Next week.
Next week.
Tina and I are going to go to Oahu. And
when do you go?
Thursday morning.
Oh, good.
And we are going to learn all the new latest and greatest information about Silver Seas cruises.
Well, Silver Seas is a very high-end cruise line, right?
They are.
Mm-hmm. And they're considered by some to be the best.
They're up there with Crystal and Regent and Seabourn. So the service is really good. Small ships with a... attention to, you know, service.
Is it all inclusive?
It is not all inclusive as far as shore excursions, mm-hmm. but it does include your wine and spirits and stuff like that.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm. Have you? And the food, well, I have not sailed on them, but probably 2 or 3 years ago, they had a ship in port. And so we did tour the ship. And the lunch probably was the best lunch I had ever had.
Yeah.
On that ship.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. You can judge that. But, yeah. You know, it's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
We can't underestimate the quality of food.
No.
When we're traveling. And it's, you know, it's very, very, I mean, more than ever, it's important. I was watching a PBS special about Jacques Perrault. And I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. The chef that does the cooking that...
Pepin.
Pepin, that's it. He was a fascinating man. Yeah. And I've been on Oceania, I think, 3 times now.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the restaurant called Jacques, featuring some of his menus and things. And the guy was amazing. Just quite a great chef and an amazing life. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? What happened to
I
see that show?
I saw part of it.
It was so interesting. And and so here's this amazing guy. And I'd been on the cruise and not realized how big a name he was as far as even beyond celebrity chefs. I mean, the guy worked everywhere, and he kind of, at one point, gave up the whole celebrity thing. He came over to America, and he worked doing all the menus for one of the very basic chains. Was it Burger King or something? No, Wendy's. One of those kind of things. Yes,
wow.
Because he wanted to reach the people. He was tired. At one point, he was actually the one chef in charge of feeding the French king, you know, French royalty, Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he gave that all up. He got tired of that because he was doing the most expensive meals you can imagine. He went totally the opposite way. And then he went back and got involved in lots of other people. But the guy is a Renaissance man, does great things. And so they're featuring him on the Oceania cruises. And people do love him.
Yeah,
and they love his food.
And I think he sails every now and then with them, and they have a special sailing.
Yeah, and I've heard stories about that.
They have, on the Oceania, they have the cooking school. Did you do that when you were?
I didn't even know they had
it. Yeah, they have a, well, you were on the bigger ship,
yeah.
Right?
Well, so the one that was 900.
The Marina? Yeah, you went on the Marina.
The Marina
and the Riviera.
And the Riviera,
yeah, those
right.
are the bigger ships. And they have actually a cooking class where you don't just watch. A lot of times it's demonstration. They have... you can actually cook, and they have the chef, the onboard chef there and teaching the class. I did that. It was really fun.
On the Oceania?
On the Oceania, yeah.
So what are you finding right now is the most popular cruise? Because you know what we're seeing, and what's really important to remember, is that cruising's become really big and bigger, right? And I mean, are you finding, as far as calls coming in, that more people are wanting to cruise now?
They want to cruise. Paul Gauguin is our still number one request.
And you have some of those available still at a
distance? Till September.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And hopefully they'll come out with...
The 7-day one mainly, right?
Yeah, they have a 14-day that is next month. I'm not sure if there's still space on that one, but there's still some 7 days. And hopefully we'll get new dates soon for later on the year and maybe even next year. But that's still our most popular request. But what I'm finding is, you know, our clientele are more, they're retired, you know, and they've traveled and they've been on the Royal Caribbean and Princess and all. They are wanting to do like a smaller ship, mm-hmm. so... Like Oceania has smaller ship and mm-hmm. Silver Sea and whatnot. So that's, they like the intimacy of that. So.
Would you say, you don't book the Seabourn that much. Would you say Celebrity and Oceania are the two most popular cruises that you have right now?
Celebrity, Oceania, and Holland probably are.
Oh, really?
Because mm-hmm.
you know, we've never talked much about Holland.
Yeah.
Have we ever? I don't think we've ever focused on them.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But, I've done Holland. I liked them.
Well, they're huge in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you go to Europe, you see a lot more than you do, you know. I mean, I see them uh-huh. when you go to Venice. When you go into port, you see a lot of Holland America.
Yeah, and Alaska, they do a bit of Alaska. Princess is popular because, you know, everybody knows them. They love boat, and they do a lot of commercials. But, you know, what is also getting popular is Oceania, you know, the Oceania ocean cruise, because they are, again, a smaller ship, 900, And
you mean the cross transatlantic?
No, the Oceania. I mean, excuse me, Viking cruises.
Yeah,
Viking ocean cruises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Viking is like, well, that you saw last week we had Christine in here. She's completely sold on it. And part of the thing was, again, and what a lot of people look for is good price, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think still people really will look for a good price. Even if they have money, a lot of times they want a good price. They want nice accommodations, and they want a good price with the balcony, because more and more people really want the balcony, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to go, it doesn't matter if you have a cheap inside room. You want the balcony. And what you do when you're searching and what you're getting sent, I get tons of emails, and they'll say, you know, $9.99 or, you know, $12.99. And then you go to the site and you see, oh, that's an inside cabin. And they're all sold out, right?
They are, yeah.
And you see that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. But Viking ocean cruises, they're all their cabins are the same, except for, of course, the suites, but they're all verandas.
Which is a great idea. Mm-hmm.
They're just on, you know, the pricing is based on the location.
Mm-hmm.
They're all inclusive. So you have beer and wine at lunch and dinner.
And the shore excursions really is a plus.
You know, because you can come off with a couple $1,000 bill on a, you know, you get an inexpensive cruise fare, but then by the time you pay all of it, then if you compare it with, say, maybe Holland and Viking, you might have paid, you might have saved money on the Viking, but you're just seeing it up front versus on the back end.
Well, and that's very important. And the other thing to remember, I mean, it's so funny because there's so many stories out about the best time to book airfare. And I mean, you know, as far as how many days out and which day of the week is the best time to book. And some people swear that, you know, some days are better. It used to be Tuesday, and now they're saying no. You know, the days have changed to book cheap airfare. Now people are saying Sunday. Some people are saying Sunday's cheaper. But in the same way, it's really hard to know exactly when to book a cruise. Some people will book like a year out. And I know you had the Viking representative here in just about a month ago, mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago.
You have to book Viking ahead of time.
You do.
Because they're so popular. So if you, and they don't tend to discount. My recommendation, if there is a cruise that you want, I would book it. Most of the cruise lines, not Viking, but, you know, like, say, Princess or Holland or even Celebrity, your deposit is refundable, usually up until about 90 or 120 days out. So
it doesn't hurt to get it.
Yeah, so and if the fare drops between when you book it and before you do the final payment, you get the lower rate.
All the cruise lines do
that?
They
won't do it for you, but for what we do for our clients, if we see there's been a price reduction, then we call them and then...
You know, I had never known that before, Kathy. I assumed
that's why you use a travel professional.
Well yeah, because I assumed that if the price dropped, that they would tell you.
No,
but
they don't.
You have to watch it yourself, or if you just call Kathy and book through her. Mm-hmm. That's a very good service then.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, because I mean, sometimes it does quite
it
a bit.
It does,
depending on how well it's selling. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year I saved. I had a family going to Alaska. Saved them about $1,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because they dropped the price.
They dropped the price.
And how far out did they drop the price?
You know, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're always having a promotion here, a promotion there, you know, that kind of thing.
You know, what we're seeing, though, with our Portuguese trip and everything is that a lot of people just don't. I'm one of those people that really don't know. If I were to go right now and try to book a year out, I would not know what my schedule is going to be like next year at all.
You just put it in your schedule.
No.
There you go.
You don't. things come up. You just don't.
You go, so, I'm busy. I can't go there. Yeah. I'm going on a vacation.
Can you do a year out? I don't know. I can't do
it. I can.
You can actually book a year out.
Yeah. I mean, I just say this is where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And then stick it in my calendar. But before I forget, I have a really good travel tip, airline
yes.
tip right now. And
okay.
I found this yesterday and from LA, I think it's LA Rome, LA Paris, or from San Francisco, Paris. And I mainly saw it on United. Round trip fare is under $600.
How? For when? It's got to be a winter.
No, I actually was pricing clients in April.
Are we here?
Yeah.
Is Henry here? Did Henry make it? Henry made it. Oh, my. Good, 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 good. Come in, Henry. Yeah. Yay, yay, yay. Henry Lindsay's here. Have a seat over here. Have a seat. Let's pull that microphone right over to you there. You pull it right up. Hi, Henry. How are you?
Still kicking.
You came down from up country, huh?
Yeah, I'm a half hour early.
Well, I didn't know Brenda told you the wrong time. It's 1 to 2 for my travel show. I have my talk show on Tuesday, 2 o'clock. But this show's 1 to 2. Have you ever met Kathy? Kathy Takushi's Brenda Lindsay's brother. This is Henry Lindsay.
Hi Henry.
Yeah. But I've been listening to you on your way down.
So. Well, we were filling time to you could make it. Henry's been in the business here forever. I mean, as long as I, 20, 30, 40 years? 40 years in the business?
Yeah.
About?
40. Built my first house on Maui in 72.
Wow.
My father in 44.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Ridgeline Homes, Inc., and your family's all kind of working. You have your son and members.
Four of the five kids are in the business now.
Wow.
Actually, Ridgeline Homes is owned by my kids now. And my oldest son, is a general contractor.
Wow.
So they're trying to find the back door for me, I think.
You do look a little bit like Brenda. Maybe it's the eyes. Or
Brenda looks like me in drag. Brenda. That's
not nice.
Well, you've seen the ups and downs of the construction industry over the years and the building of homes, and you've been riding that wave for a long, long time, so you've seen what's happened. But beyond that, you have the family that's got roots, of course, here. But if you really trace back the roots, if you take those roots way back, it goes to Portugal.
Yes, it does. My father is basically of Scottish descent, and my mother is full-blood Portuguese, along with my wife. I call them, she's registered with papers, is what I say.
I didn't know your wife was as well.
Yeah, she's full-blood Portuguese. My mother's maiden name is Freitas.
Oh.
Her mother's Tavares.
Oh.
And her mother was Franco. But we're related
to
just about...
The Tavares community is also Portuguese.
Yes.
Related to Charmaine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Related to Charmaine. Hannibal Tavares was a very close friend of my parents.
Wow. Yeah. A legendary mm-hmm. mayor. Legendary, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have the two sides. I have the Lindsay being Scottish.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, my mom's Freitas. The old saying is, if my mother was my father, my father was my mother, my name would be Henry Freitas.
I kind of follow that. I like that. That's excellent. I guess that it's a pretty tight-knit community, the Portuguese community still is. Do you feel that? Do you have gatherings every now and then? Or is just a family's big enough where you don't need a gathering? Because, I mean, every time I joke with Brenda, every time there's someone that comes up and we mention the name of a client, she says, oh, yeah, that's a cousin. Oh, no, that's an uncle. We're related. It's like everyone's related.
You know, it is close. We always joke about, you know, America being a melting pot. And then you hear some of the comedians say that Hawaii is a tossed salad.
Uh-huh,
it is. And we are a tossed salad. I think the Portuguese are very proud of their heritage and their history.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people think we're like, you know, my big fat Greek wedding where everything was created by the Portuguese, you know, historically. But
that was a funny part of that movie, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things were, actually. Mm-hmm. And if you Google it, even the English drinking tea came from the Portuguese.
Not.
Just Google it and you'll see.
Not. Mm-hmm. Tea drinking came from Portugal.
Yeah, King Edward married a princess from Portugal, and of course she liked tea, and she started drinking tea at court, and it caught on.
I never ever
Don't trust me. Just grab your Google, go your iPhone, and say, how did the English start drinking tea?
So I guess this again goes back to the fact that, you know, in the 1400s and beyond, there were all these amazing navigators, and they would travel. So they probably went to China on some of the routes and brought back the tea from China.
You know, you just can't go to Portugal or Madeira or the other, as we say, Azores islands, without talking about Prince Henry the Navigator. He's such a dominant feature in Portuguese history because his mandate and his aggressiveness to go out and discover the world is the reason why the Azores were discovered by him in the early 1400s and colonized. And also Madeira was he was going along the coast of Africa, and he saw the birds going out. And as he headed out, he saw this island with this massive forest. And of course, Madeira means trees or forest in Portuguese.
I didn't know that. Okay.
And that's where Madeira got its name.
You've been to Madeira?
I have not been to Madeira. We were gone the entire month of September. We started
this last year.
We went to Scotland.
Uh-huh.
And it was a roots tour, so we went to Scotland in search of the Lindsay history that started in Scotland about 1,000 around
wow.
that area.
Really?
Yeah, and we went to the
Did
home.
Did you do this through the gene thing? Did you do one of those?
Well, there's a history that goes through it. I mean, mm-hmm. But we went to the homeland of where the Lindsays were in Scotland.
What section of Scotland was that?
It's an area called Lanarkshire. It's in the border areas of Scotland. When King David married the Princess of Flanders, she brought a group of noblemen with her. And I used to always complain, what's up with the Lindsays? We're always working for somebody else. We're the guards of the king. Why can't we do this? And somebody said, excuse me, Henry, who guards the king?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The best. Right?
So anyway, there was a group of noblemen that came over. And obviously the Celts couldn't pronounce their names properly because the Lindsay origin was a guy named Gilbert de Alus, which they changed to Lindsay. It was Landsay. At that time, and there's different pronunciations and stuff. And there were Douglases and Fleming and, mm-hmm. and the other guys that were in there, and that was kind of the origin. And they were given lands. King David gave them different lands, and the Lindsays got land in Lanarkshire. And from there, they went down into England and came back up a variety of different times. There's a Lindsay province, I think, in England. There's also a castle built by Lindsays in northern England. So we did that.
Near the border up there.
Yeah, right there, so yeah. We went to Scotland.
Did you see the castles and the different
yeah.
places?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that, how did you feel? I've been to my roots. My father was born in Czechoslovakia in Prague, and it was very interesting for me because that's kind of close. That's my father. But when you go back, you know, that long ago, did you feel any of that family history or energy? And did you meet any of the people that still are there that are relatives?
You know, there's something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a student of history, so I don't travel anywhere without spending a tremendous amount of time studying history, whether it be Portuguese history or Scotland's. So usually when there's a tour, they say, if you have any more questions, ask him.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. Because
I usually do a lot of homework on it. But yeah, there's a tremendous feel that you have of the land. When you imagine, now my family they left Scotland, I think in the 1600s though,
uh-huh.
and became one of the founding families of Henderson County. My dad was in the army, and in World War II, he was stationed on Maui, met my mother
oh,
here.
Oh, really?
And so World War II for them was a love story, like so many.
So he was stationed here on Maui? Not
yeah.
Yeah. And was that area down where they, in the central, were just plantation, it was a whole base down there?
Yeah, everybody thinks of Camp Maui, but that was mostly Marines. My father was actually, this is going to surprise you, he was stationed at the Hongwanji in Makawao.
Not.
Yeah.
Right up there on Makawao Avenue.
Right up there where they just
put a station there.
They were stationed there, and yeah, and Makawao School now, I think, was a hospital.
I had no idea.
Yeah, my grandfather made, Joe Freitas, made basically surgical tools and stuff. He was a blacksmith during World War II for some of the surgeons who didn't have certain tools.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's this deep history.
Yeah.
But what we find about history is it's all connected.
Yeah.
It's all connected because we flew into Glasgow and... Yeah. I had acquired a shoulder injury on the trip, and my wife had to drive on the opposite side of the road and all the roundabouts
yes.
and everything. So I give her a 10
mm-hmm.
because that was pretty crazy.
It is the first time, yeah.
But I asked the Scottish people, which, by the way, they love Americans. At least that was my experience. Mm. In fact, both in Portugal and Scotland, they loved Americans, and it was so nice to feel appreciated. I was kind of wondering, because you hear these stories about Europe and America, but and so she drove, and we went from different areas, and we had amazing experiences both in Scotland and Portugal. We went to Edinburgh and all the other places, and then we
took it's a good time of year.
We went in September.
You picked a good time of year, so it wasn't too cold.
It was very, very busy. Mm-hmm. So I told them, I said, wait a minute, we were told to come here in September.
Uh-huh.
And they said, yeah, all you bloody Americans were told to come here in September.
Right, exactly. So everyone's there.
But we did Airbnbs. We didn't do the tours. We drove. And actually, we were able to find places to stay all but one night. One night we slept in a parking lot in Scotland. But other than that.
Because it was busy.
Yeah, it was busy. So then we took a train to London, and we stayed in London for a couple of days, and then we flew to Porto.
And did you rent a car in Porto?
Yes, we did. And one of the things I learned that in Portugal, they don't like automatics. Hardly anybody has an automatic.
Well, this is not just Portugal. There's many places
many
in
places.
Europe. And you have to remember to look ahead at this, because I drive, but it's been years since I've drawn stick shift. But John doesn't drive a stick shift. So, I mean, at one time I was doing all the driving because, it's you can't always find. And they charge extra.
They charge extra. We ended up with a BMW automatic, and Arlene drove.
And that could be pricey.
We've had a lot of opinions about people. Everybody's an expert on where you're going and what you're doing, even if they've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing we've discovered in Portugal was a lot of things weren't what we expected. The highways were phenomenal.
Oh, really?
They were phenomenal. Portugal has a lot of very deep ravines and rolling mountains, and these things, they felt like they were 1,000 feet up. They just had these massive columns, and the highways were completely straight.
So it was easy to get around.
It was very, very easy, and there was hardly anybody on the road. And if you know anything about the Portuguese, they race. When they're on the road, they race. They're all hot rodders. I asked a young woman why, and they said, well, that's how they get their frustration out. And so there's a lot of voicing, a lot of raising their arm and the things that happen on the highway. So you just want to be prepared that they move at extremely fast, no matter where they're at.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And so we had a good experience. We went into Porto, and we did the things you do in Porto. I'm interested in structure and architecture, so...
Uh-huh.
We stayed in a hotel that was cut out of the granite right beside the Douro River there.
Nice.
And you can see the bridge, the famous bridge that was, they used Eiffel steel, those things were done in the 1800s, incredible. And then the music you were talking about earlier and those
Fada.
Things having dinner. Sometimes I felt in Portugal that I was like, Bubba. But instead of shrimp, it was bacalhau, dried
codfish.
Did you like it?
A thousand ways.
And I think we ate every single way.
Really?
But what was different, what I wanted to just mention to you, I don't know if you mentioned Aveiro, whether you guys went to Aveiro.
No.
Aveiro is a fishing town that basically has, I guess like Vienna, they have those gondolas or whatever that go up the canals.
Oh, the canals, yeah.
And the beautiful boats. And then they commercially produce salt there is one of their things. And we really enjoyed Aveiro right on the ocean.
Uh-huh.
But my favorite, and I saw the sunrise.
I think we do go to Aveiro, yeah.
I thought we saw the sunrise in Lisbon.
Nice.
Right over the bridge. It looks like the, San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge.
It is
looks
a beautiful
like
bridge,
it.
And I didn't know much about it till we went up on our cruise. We were on a small ship, so we got to go under the bridge and stay right there in town.
Yeah, in the Tagus River. So we were over there. But one, I don't know if you mentioned Tomar, whether you guys go to Tomar or not.
I don't
not.
Know about Tomar. Where is that?
Is that where you guys went? Aveiro?
It's actually A-V-E-I-R-O.
Okay.
Aveiro. Tomar is basically the the Knights of the Templar, the town that the Knights of the Templar did. And I can tell you, of all the places I was in Portugal, the one that fascinated me the most was Tomar. We weren't really planning on going, and somebody had done a shout-out for us to head inland, and maybe we should check Tomar. So we were heading to Tomar, and we're in this Airbnb, bed and breakfast or something. We can't find it. We're driving all over the country. We cannot find this place. And so finally we go back into the town of Tomar, and we see this beautiful hotel that's there. And what was the hotel? It was a, what is it? The Hotel Tem de Plaris or something.
Oh, the Templars, yeah.
Yeah. And then so we thought, well, they probably don't have any room. But we asked them, and they said, yeah, they had rooms. And then they told us how very expensive it were, and we were extremely excited because it wasn't very expensive compared to what we are used to. So we went into our room, and when we opened the blinds, I mean, my wife basically jumped with enthusiasm because the gardens, and they had a water wheel out there, and the whole grounds were magnificent, and right up there on the point of the hill was this incredibly beautiful Templar castle.
Wow. Now, I remember when I was in Lisbon, I went to one of the very, very large cathedrals. It was a little ways off the coast, not much, just about actually a block from the coast, and it was huge. I mean, it was huge, but then they told the story. And the Knights Templar, because the Knights Templar used that cross that's equal level, they cross equally, and so it's very obvious cross. And then the story was the Templars were all there, and they got all completely slaughtered when there was that, well, it's famous now as like the Black Friday, but they came and all the Knights Templar were completely wiped out, they think, you know, at that time. So of course then it changed, and it was like this whole plot that evolved, and then it got taken over by the other people at that time. But I didn't know, I mean, I knew there was a large Knights Templar community, but I hadn't heard about this other town.
Oh, I would recommend a visit there. I mean, the food is absolutely fantastic. I have a friend, David Israelite, who lived in Portugal for 6 years, and he told me that he used to drive from his home somewhere outside of Lisbon all the way to Tomar just to get this special meal that they prepared there in this restaurant. He would drive 2.5 hours.
So you went there?
I don't know if I went to that particular restaurant, but it was it was pretty incredible there.
That, you know, I love when you can actually explore your roots that way. And did you find out the towns that were related with the roots of your town?
Well, from there we went to the Azores. And I've always called the Azores, the islands are 1,500 miles off the coast of Portugal. And when you're there, if you say, oh, I was in Portugal, they look at you quite weird because they are Portugal.
Uh-huh.
Like Hawaii saying we're from the States instead of we're American.
Oh, it's very, like that.
Very, very similar.
Uh-huh.
But they're the Hawaiian islands of the Atlantic. They look exactly like Hawaii. When my great-great-grandparents left the dock there, for Hawaii. In fact, we have some of the furniture in our house from that trip.
Wow.
When they left there, I was thinking, wow, if they would have fell asleep and then woke up in Hawaii, they would say, have we left yet? Because it looks exactly like Hawaii. And they eat taro on every meal. They call it yammies. I mean, everything is taro over there. And of course, they have a tea plantation. And so, you know, we're basically the native Azoreans. That's why some people say, oh, you guys aren't from Portugal, you're Azoreans. Well, that's like saying you're from Hawaii, but you're not from America.
Mm-hmm.
So we are.
How many islands were there related to in that chain over there?
There's quite a few. We just went to São Miguel because we just didn't have the time to travel to all the islands. But my son Jacob was there on official Portuguese business with the club, and he had dinner with the consulate and stuff and traveled through the different islands. But we were able to stay in a bed and breakfast there, and we were in Scotland. They were talking about the Jacobites and all the, you know, the religious, the Catholics had to, you know, they were being slaughtered up there because they were rebelling. There's a lot of movies and stuff that have been done on it. And here we ended up staying in a old farmhouse. It was 500 years old or something. And that guy was a Jacobite who fled from Scotland.
Wow.
To the Azores.
Wow.
You know, and he started a church there. He called it Freedom. And he was from Scotland.
Isn't that amazing?
So that was the full. So full it's circle. So connected. Yeah.
Wow, it's an amazing story, Henry. It really is. And I, you know, we're seeing. And I was talking to Kathy because we had someone else that had done a similar trip. Remember when we were talking about that the trip following the roots? I think was Uitaki. No, I forget his name. Benny. One of our guests did just that. We followed the roots and went back. And I think there really is something to this. I mean, it's a very interesting completion of understanding. It's one thing to hear about your roots, and it's another thing to actually be there. And like you were, things are going to happen that are just magical. And you had some wonderful experiences.
Well, when you're standing on the dock where your ancestors made a commitment to travel,
wow,
to go all the way around South America, to mm-hmm. come to a place called Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
and have the courage to be able to do that.
Had and you to ever stand find out how that happened? Why Hawaii? Did you ever ask anyone?
Well, there was a variety of things. The Portuguese were, they were asked to come here by the Kingdom of Hawaii.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because the Portuguese, unlike some of the other people that were brought into work, were actually professionals at sugarcane, pineapple, and taro. And taro. So, and they were also very good stonemasons. That's why a lot of the old stonework here, because the Azores are all basalt. They even have cocuya grass. The grass is the same.
I didn't know that.
And they have, but the thing they have different is they have a lot of inland lakes. So their basic volcanoes have filled with lakes, and they are just gorgeous and beautiful.
Wow.
But it's so much like Hawaii. I understand that later it gets cold, gets colder than Hawaii. But when we were there in September, I could not tell the difference between being in Hana and being over there. To me, it was the only thing that was different is we have native hapu'us. The fern trees here are Hawaiian, and those are more like the Australian tree ferns over there. But the food is fantastic. The bread is, it's you have to close your eyes to eat that.
Oh, is it really that good? Oh, my gosh. Oh, I will never, you know, I love bread. I try not to eat too much of it here, but I definitely have to do that. What kind of bread would you kind of, it's not sweet bread. It's
not sweet. I wish I could describe it. It's almost undescribable. I think one of the breads that we had was like, it was almost like a pizza size, very, probably a couple inches thick and probably 12 inches in diameter. And the closest thing I could say would be like a pancake, but nothing like a pancake. It's just when you, the texture, and what you did, you break that off and you eat it with your meals. And the only thing I regret is not buying enough of it.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. I'm sure they probably could ship it, but it's not going to be the same. You know, it's kind of like in India they do that, because if you use the ovens, in India you have those round pieces and lots of different kinds of bread as well. But I'm very excited. I'm really glad you were able to make it. I'm sorry the timing was wrong, but, I mean, you told me a lot that I didn't know, and it really puts some interesting pieces to the puzzle of Portugal I'm trying to put together in my mind.
One other point is Prince Henry the Navigator in the early 1400s was the head of the Knights Templar in Portugal.
I didn't know that.
He was the head of it, yeah.
Wow. And, of course, you're called Henry.
Yep.
So there you go. Full circle again, right? Well, thank you for coming down the hill. I appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk to Story. I'd known of you for a long time, and I've seen you, but I never knew this whole story. So it's very fascinating hearing this history, and that amazing trip you took was a great trip.
Every family has a great story.
Yes.
They just need a good storyteller. And who better than a Portuguese to tell the story?
It's very well put. On that, we're going to wind it up, and you can call Kathy Takushi at 808-244-1414. And people hear this will hear this in other places, and there is a toll-free number as well, because I post this online.
That's 1-800-344-9086.
And you can go to CaptivatingJourneys.com as well. And if you're going to be interested in the trip to Portugal, you'd get that in by the end of March to participate. And you can always get your discount. If you're not decided, don't worry. Get the discount down. You can get that back until April 2nd. And you also do, of course, the trips. There's one cabin
one
left.
One cabin left to Egypt. Egypt.
I think it's got my name on it. Thank you so much, everyone, and thank you, Henry. And
you're welcome.
Great seeing you, Kathy. Aloha.
Bye.